What's today called, Solana?
Wrap It Up Wednesdays.
3 o'clock hour brought to you by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com.
And the safe sex awareness. I love it. Love it, man.
Is there a lot of awareness when Solana just calls today, Wrap It Up Wednesday? That's a lot of awareness.
What does wrap it up mean? And then you have to describe it. Explain it to people.
You think he's changed someone's attitude towards safe sex by saying one time it's Wrap It Up Wednesday?
Somebody just stopped at the gas station to get them a box of rubbers.
Go ahead. Solana's got a brand new radio segment that he debuted. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was actually the day before.
Day before.
And then you tried to do it around 2:40, and I cut you off at the pass. Go ahead. He's got this thing called, what the hell is it called?
Come on. What kind of introduction is that?
I totally blanked on it.
We great got introduction,
action.
Jack.
Oh, we got action, Jack. Go ahead. Give us a little We Got Action, Jack. What were you trying? There it is. It's the sound no one wants to hear when listening to the radio.
We Got Action, Jack.
I do like his excitement over it, though. He really, it's like seeing a kid watching, you know, a Disney movie for the first time.
Yes, what we got, baby?
We got action, Jack.
Harrison Ford in Raiders of the Lost Ark versus Richie Incognito. Who you got?
What is that? Is that a heavy bag?
Hey, boxer.
Who you got, Chan? Who you got?
Actually, I have
Don't
Harrison.
Don't I go first?
Yeah.
All right, Hawk, who you got?
In what, like, so it's the
Never mind. Chan, who you got?
I need context.
I got Harrison Ford.
The character, though? You're
yes.
talking about Indiana Jones, so it's not Harrison Ford. You're saying Indiana Jones in his prime?
Harrison Ford in his prime, running away from
Indiana
those large
Jones
pebbles.
Or Harrison Ford?
Isn't Harrison Ford Indiana Jones?
He's the actor playing a role. Like Ben Affleck played Batman, so you can't ask me Batman versus someone. Like, are you talking about Harrison Ford the actor, or are you talking about the character Indiana Jones?
Harrison Ford dressed as Indiana Jones.
Okay, so it's just Harrison Ford in a costume now.
But does he have his whip?
Versus Richie Incognito. Yeah, he has
Richie
his whip.
Richie Incognito today?
Richie Incognito may or may not have a dumbbell.
I'm taking Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones or not, because Richie Incognito is soft.
What?
He's a pudding pie. Tell me a Richie Incognito story that intimidates you. When he beat up his own Ferrari, or when he punched holes in the wall in front of his 90-year-old grandma, or when he threatened a funeral director with 6 guns. He's soft.
Did you ever play with Richie Incognito?
Yes. I played with him, and when he came to the Dolphins, true story, when he came to Dolphins, and this plays right into my narrative, when he came to the Dolphins, a couple defenders went up to him, including me, and we said, Richie, if you start that dumb bleep, it's not going to end with us. Like, you're going to have to deal with a bunch of peed off dudes the entire camp, and you're gonna feel it.
Really?
And he started laughing. No, guys, no, we teammates, ha, 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 because you addressed him as an alpha male. He, Bullygate, the name Bullygate, Richie is a bully. He found Jonathan Martin, the softest individual ever to play in the NFL. I have Harrison Ford today sitting in a rocking chair drinking lemonade over Richie Incognito. Richie Incognito is soft.
Because Richie Incognito is going to be on Hard Knocks, right? Hard Knocks is going to feature the Oakland Raiders this season.
And watch this. He is not going to try anybody with any kind of dog in him, any alpha male. He's going to, if he does pick on somebody, it's going to be a punter or a four-string rookie tackle. He's not a lion.
Because he got kicked out of the gym up on Yamato Road there in Boca.
Hawk, he was fighting your cousin. He was fighting your cousin. Yamato Road gym is where he wants to fight people. Throwing dumbbells, beating up his own Ferrari. And then the in-game dirty stuff, right? The reason he does stuff in-game that's dirty is because the refs are going to protect him. Nobody's going to let somebody get choked out during a game.
So you're saying Richie Incognito is soft.
Now,
I wouldn't go down this road because he seems a little off kilter.
And what's
to me.
He going to do? Come down here and beat up his own Ferrari?
I don't know. He seemed to have some guns or something.
Name me a story where he's fought a grown man. Except the softest player ever to play in the NFL. I got Harrison Ford. Chan got Harrison Ford.
Chan's got Harrison Ford?
No, Richie is a pudding pie.
All good right, pick, well, Chan. That brings a close to another rousing rendition of Who You Got Jack, which I don't even know. I don't even know why it's called Who You Got Jack. All right.
So he can say it in that voice?
I guess. He gets very excited when he's doing it.
Want some more or you're good?
I'm fine, personally. Did you want any more?
I got my feel.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about how that went. How are you feeling about how that went?
Oh, I think it went well.
All right. I did like the heavy bag.
The little punches.
I thought that was a nice addition. Was that your idea? Or was that his idea?
No, that's Alana.
Yeah.
That's actual sound, by the way. I recorded that at my house.
You wanted to dress up the segment a little bit? You thought it was just missing one key ingredient, huh?
It's like the sprinkles on top of a donut.
I will tell you that yesterday when he did, the hell's this thing called, Jack? What is it called?
We Got Action,
We Got
Jack.
Action, Jack. Yesterday he did salad frosting, and then I heard it this morning on Howard Stern. So if you're doing something the day before it gets to the Howard Stern show, you got something, you got action, Jack.
Isn't that salad frosting just lying to your kids?
Well, it's great marketing to call salad dressing salad frosting.
But the marketing is just to lie to
everyone,
your kids.
Everyone loves frosting, though, right?
Yes.
Like, frosting is pretty ubiquitous. Like, oh, frosting? Sure. I love frosting.
I'll take some.
Who doesn't like frosting?
Salad frosting.
Salad frosting. Good marketing. What? What?
Sorry, that was an accident. That was an accident.
I mean, what? Do you have another one before I move on here? Because Goldie's going to join us soon.
No, that was an accident.
All right. Where do you think Kevin Durant ends up? Here are the odds, according to Bet Online. Golden State Warriors are 3-2. New York Knicks are 3-2. Los Angeles Clippers, 3-1. Lakers, 10-1. Brooklyn, 10-1. And Oklahoma City, 100-1. Where do you think Kevin Durant ends up next season?
Knicks. I put money on the Knicks.
The only thing that I hesitate to say about the Knicks, I feel like Kevin Durant's got this thing where he's going to want to do something that no one saw coming. That he's, you know, just on a different plane than everyone else. I don't think he's going to go back to Golden State. He may, the only thing I would say is maybe he delays his departure by one season if he's out completely. Is it confirmed yet that it's an Achilles tear?
No, still no word on that. They said it's probably be MRI that he had.
Probably be released today is what I saw this morning. So it still hasn't been released yet?
No.
But even to that, because they've been talking about it, and him having, what is it, $31 million guaranteed.
He could take 1 year, $31 million. He could opt in for the final year of his contract with Golden State.
He won't, though. Like, I think for certain, you can take that out, him opting in, and here's why. He's coming off an Achilles. He's going to go get that sack, as Channing would say, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, why so risk? Get it now, right. So.
I'm like, right on the same page
although,
with
but
you.
If he, but if he doesn't play the entire season, he's right. Going to get $31 million. He knows the medical staff there at Golden State. Now, maybe that's a negative, yeah. But he knows who he's dealing with there. He knows who he'll be rehabbing with. And then after the season, like, even if he takes another season off, if someone's willing to give him a max right now, they'll certainly be willing to give him if you don't see him play next season.
So get the max now. You know, why take, because he's going to get somewhere close to 40 in the max. Why take 31 this year? For the next 12 months,
right.
KD can get 31 or he can get 40. Why take Golden State's 31 to then get 40 the following year? So then that would be 71 over 2 years.
How
take
Knicks,
40 for back-to-back 2 years. That's 80.
How Knicks would that be, by the way, to finally land the greatest free agent and he's not going to play for a year?
That is what the Knicks do.
How, I mean, you know, if they land him, they land him. It's still great. But how Knicks would that be where you can't even watch him play for a season and you're hoping he's the same when he comes back?
They just did it with Porzingis.
Yeah.
They held him for a year.
Then they got rid of him.
Yeah.
Did you see the New York Post headline after game 5?
I think I saw it. What was it?
The Knicks lose game 5 in Toronto.
That's funny. New York Post headlines are funny. That is true. New York Knicks could end up being the big loser. They have set themselves up to be, you know, a contender next season if they get Kevin Durant or Kyrie or, you know, they wanted to get Zion. It made sense that Zion would end up. They didn't get Zion. Looks like Kyrie. Kyrie, I think, opted out today or didn't opt in. So if he didn't opt in, so he's a free agent, and all signs point to Brooklyn. Like, they're perfectly positioned to get KD, and he might be injured for the first full season.
And we hate the Knicks, so I enjoy this narrative.
It's funny.
But if KD goes, because we talked to a bunch of people, and I agree, there's no team that's going to take the offer off the table because they'll pay KD the 40 for the next 3 years of KD.
Right.
But will a Kyrie or another top player go to New York to wait for KD to get healthy?
Great question. Like, if you thought, yeah, we're going to get KD and he's going to attract other free agents, now you can't really do that, right? Because now you got to go there and play with who? I don't even know who's on that team.
The big head light skin boy. Knox.
And who will they get? Like R.J. Barrett or something?
Yeah, probably R.J. Barrett.
So you're playing with a bunch of puppies, waiting for KD to come back.
And hoping
that he's what he was before. I'm sure teams are going to pay KD's money, but I don't know if he can attract another all-star.
I had not even thought of that. You're right. Stanley Cup Final. Game 7 is tonight from Boston, and Steve Goldstein is there for Westwood One. He will be part of the coverage tonight, and you'll hear it here on this radio station. And he's the play-by-play voice for the Florida Panthers, and we're going to talk a little Game 7, and I want to talk KD with him as well. He's a huge Knicks fan, by the way. Goldie's a huge Knicks fan. You know what? I want to ask him. I want to needle him a little bit. So Goldie from Boston is next. Radio.com. Radio.com. Well, Adina Howard. Know this song? Yeah. Freak Like Me. Crank it up for a second there, Solana.
Oh,
a little freakiness inside.
Let it out.
Gotta get with it.
Man, better music back in the day.
3 o'clock hour brought to you by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series, ready to get any job done right.
Now they talk about lovely lady lumps.
Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. Crank it up. You ever heard this song, Solana?
Never.
This is a good one. You know what? I think this Wednesday touched my soul.
Wrap it up Wednesday.
Wrap it up Wednesday.
Just trying to touch your soul, Kyle.
My goodness. Bringing back memories.
Steve Goldstein is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Steve Goldstein, the television play-by-play man for the Florida Panthers on Fox Sports Florida. And he's heard, you know, myriad places doing broadcasting. And he's in Boston for the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7 tonight. You're going to hear him on this radio station. We will be airing Westwood One's coverage of the Stanley Cup Finals, and Goldie is with us. Hello, Goldie.
Good afternoon. What has changed in South Florida since over the last 5 weeks? I've been home for a total of 4 days.
Well, what's new down there? I don't know what's new down here, but I am going to ask you something that we were talking in the last segment, because we know you're a huge Knicks fan. Wouldn't it be somewhat funny if the Knicks do land the massive whale that they've been going after, Kevin Durant, but then he can't play and therefore can't attract other free agents?
It wouldn't be, you know, so funny. I mean, I don't look at it that way. It would have been funny.
A little funny. Kind of funny?
Maybe a little ironic. That would be the, you know, it would be Nick-like. That's the key, because they're so bad. But what really would have been Nick-like is he would have come back, played 3 games, they would have won the title in 7, and the Knicks would have signed him, and what happened to him the other night would have happened on opening night. Very intriguing to me, because depending on how long he's out, and if he misses most or part of next season, how much do you just suck it up and give him, you know, the long-term deal? I'm assuming teams will still be lined up to do that, I would think.
Yeah, but what about, we were just talking about that too, what about players going to play with them? Because it was supposed to be KD and Kyrie or KD and somebody else. But I don't know if another All-Star is going to go and play with KD. Maybe he's going to be KD after a whole season off.
It's a great question. I still think, Crowder, we got to wait and see how bad the injury is. Like, I've seen, you know, that type of injury from what's been reported. I mean, I love how everybody, by the way, now is a doctor. No, this happened. I mean, nobody knows. You know, if he's out till, I don't know, January or February, as opposed to out maybe all of next season, that's a big difference. If he's out only part of next season, he's expected to recover. I got to think that someone that's going to sign a longer-term deal, not just for a year, is still going to go to play with him.
You think he's going to the Knicks?
Who knows? I think it's a possibility. I mean, the Lakers also, there's talk about that. You got to figure he's going somewhere unless, you know, this outpouring of love from the Warriors. Is there any chance he stays there?
I heard someone talking about that. Was it on this station or was it on First Take or something? That where maybe KD, who thought he was so unappreciated, is now seeing just how appreciated he is by the front office and the players and whatnot, and maybe that sways him to stay.
I mean, it's possible. Now, if he does the opt-in, you know, he makes his $30 million, which is more than he'll make signing elsewhere, but it's only 1 year. And then what if he doesn't come back, or what if he comes back and he's not strong, you know, and plays as well? So I still think he's got to sign. He probably has to opt out of that deal, right, and get multiple years depending on how bad this injury is.
You know, I'm just thinking about that, though, thinking through it as we're talking about it. That would be kind of a D move, right, if you opt in knowing that you're not going to play the entire season and knowing you're going to leave after that season to go somewhere else.
But then what are you worth? Like, if he doesn't play at all, it's a real mystery.
I think he's worth just as much as he is right now, which is he's worth whatever the risk is to get him on your team.
You can go get Anthony Davis, and you got a guaranteed All-Star day one.
Right. But Anthony Davis won't stay with your team. Like, he's got the opportunity to sign a long-term contract. If he doesn't want to, he can be a free agent.
It's a very intriguing thing. I do think we have to wait and see how long is the projection of being out. I think that's a huge factor. Like, if he's out 6 months, 8 months, and he's back in February or March, it's a big difference then. Okay, he's definitely out all next season. Huge difference, I think.
Yeah. I think the assumption is going to be that he's going to miss all next season. I think that's anyway, it's a funny wrench in the New York Knicks plans. I find it funny.
You just told you. Extremely funny.
Yeah, I find it funny. I find it funny. How's Boston? Is Boston Bruins crazy, I'm imagining?
Yeah, you know, it's a great city anyway. I mean, obviously, I spent a lot of time here over the years, even before I got the Panther job. I just, you know, wound up here, like, growing up. My parents, you know, worked and helped run a summer camp. So I've, you know, had a ton of time in Boston over the years. It's a great city when the weather is nice. Obviously, everybody's tired of them winning. I think everybody outside of Boston is rooting for the Blues tonight. But, yeah, they're Bruins crazy. I think most of the fans, because they win all the time, are assuming they're going to win. You know, it's interesting. I did a little homework on this. Of all these titles that they've been winning, they've only won twice in Boston. The 09 Celtics, when they beat the Lakers, when the Kevin Garnett, you know, the famous yell after the game. And the Red Sox only won one of their World Series. They beat the Cardinals in 13 at Fenway. So, and obviously the Super Bowl is never in the home city. So for all the winning they've seen, the Boston fans, or there hasn't been a clincher in the city, you know, all that often. And in hockey, the Bruins have only done it twice ever. Of the Cups they've won, they've only won twice at home. And as you know, in Boston, that Bruins, you know, that rabid fan base goes back generations. Those people they're crazy. So there's a ton of anticipation here tonight.
And Goldie, you know, we might have some bets on this game tonight, so I've been doing some research. But all the articles keep saying is the Bruins are experienced. The Bruins are experienced. This isn't a one-game sample size. They're playing a series, so the Blues have played in six games as well. Does that experience thing mean as much tonight?
It's a great question, Crowder. You know, they got those four guys that have been here, won the Cup in 11, lost the Cup in 13. I mean, for sure, you know, Char and Bergeron, those guys are Hall of Famers. Now, the Blues don't have guys like that. As you said, you know, this St. Louis, by the way, story, you know, they were last in the league in January. It's an incredible story. They went away from the championship. But before that, you know, they're a perennial playoff team. A few years ago, you know, they were right there. You know, they made the Western Conference final 1 year. They've been in the second round a couple of times. So you're right. These guys have experience. They've now played the six games in this Cup final. But, you know, I do think there might be something to it, you know, with Chara and Bergeron and the fact that all these other players in the Bruins, they look up to these guys. And, you know, they're also great players. You know, besides the experience, like, it's one thing to be experienced. You also have to be really good. So not only have they been there, they're also really good. To me, I think tonight comes down to the goalies. I mean, you're talking about these teams that played 105, 110 games. They've been going at it for 10 months since September. the bottom line is if one of those guys stands on his head and makes the save, that's probably going to be a team that's going to win. I thought that was the case in Game 6. You know, the Blues had a chance to win at home. I thought Tuukka Rask clearly was better than Binnington, who is another guy that's, you know, a great story. This guy was in the minor leagues 9 months ago, and now he's playing for the Cup. So I think the experience has somewhat of a factor, but I kind of lean, you know, maybe towards what you say, that these guys have played 6 games now in this series, and, you know, usually the one game in hockey very often comes down to the goalie.
Stanley Cup Final, Game 7 tonight. I don't care who you are, what sport you like most, least. Everyone's going to be watching or listening the Stanley Cup Final, Game 7 tonight. And Steve Goldstein, who's with us, he's going to be on the Westwood One broadcast on this station. Kenny Albert be calling the play-by-play. Joe Micheletti, Brian Boucher there as well. You got a nice little lineup of broadcasters there on the radio side. And have you looked to see? Well, we had Ben Volen from the Boston Globe on Monday, and he looked on, you know, StubHub and some of the ticket reseller sites. I mean, it's insane what tickets are going for tonight.
Yeah, it's outrageous. You know, part of it is that, like I said, you know, there hasn't been, you know, the clinchers in the city. You know, that hasn't happened all that often despite all the winning. And, you know, a game seven, look, this is only the 17th Game 7 ever. You know, the Stanley Cup has been around, what, 100 and whatever it is, 130 years? I mean, it just doesn't come around very often. And obviously, you know, when it does come around, it's usually not in your city. So, literally, it is history tonight, and it's thousands of dollars to get in. It's just nuts. You know, the Red Sox are home at Fenway. They actually moved the game. The game, the first pitch is like in a half hour, so that they would finish that game up before the hockey game starts. That was kind of cool by them.
I was asking Volen when he was on with us on Monday, because the David Ortiz stuff had just happened. Your take on, like, what's the biggest focus of the attention of sports fans, sports radio, the television sportscast? Is it Big Papi or is it Game 7?
Well, now it's Game 7, but at first, you know, when it first happened, nobody, you know, there was some trepidation. You know, is he alive? I mean, it, you know, obviously, it goes without saying what a... Or just the tragedy it was. But now that he's back here in Boston, they got him back here. They did another surgery, as most people know, you know, perhaps to make sure that they did it right in the Dominican, is, you know, some of the speculation here that that's why they went in there. But now that he's okay, number one, we were talking about this at lunch. It wouldn't surprise me if from the hospital he even records a little something and they play it on the scoreboard before the game.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That place will go crazy.
Because Boston is so like that. You know, last game, Belichick, they have this flag wave before the game, you know, to kind of kick the game off before the face-off. So, you know, Bobby Orr did it a few games ago. Belichick did it last game. The crowd went crazy. There was speculation Brady might be there to do it tonight, and maybe they do the, you know, the video for David Ortiz. But, you know, everybody now realizes he's back here in the United States. He's back in Boston, and thank God, you know, it's a recovery, but he's actually up and walking. He's going to be okay. The one funny thing on the scoreboard, and this was a few games ago, you know, Bob Kraft has been at the games. I don't know if you saw that, at the Bruins games.
I saw something. What did I see? Because there was something funny about
he's
something
in
to
the stands, the well, he's in the stands, a regular fan, so he's waving the towel. As soon as they show him on the scoreboard, first of all, biggest cheer of the night. People in Boston absolutely love him. But the one-liners, hey, there's a video Bob Kraft likes seeing. Come on, folks. Make sure you give him a hand. I mean,
that's what I was saying. Yeah, so the crowd gave him a hand because we know he likes that.
I mean, the jokes are just so easy on that video of him waving the towel. I mean, it's, you know, it's amateur hour for someone like you, especially.
Oh, I mean, that's my wheelhouse, man.
Amateur hour.
Goldie, tonight somebody's taking home this damn Stanley Cup. How does it work with the players? Because I see the videos of everybody taking it around to the, you know, around the world, drinking out of it, hanging out with it. What's the hierarchy? How does it work? How many players get to take it with them?
Well, so what they'll do tonight is whoever wins it, you know, the captain comes out and gets it. If it's the Blues, ironically, they'll give it to former Panther Jay Bomeister, since he's 35 years old. He's been in the league for 16 years and never won it. So it goes that way. So Char will, you know, give it to whoever's next. But after it's all over, everybody on the team, including coaches and I believe trainers even, they get a day with it. And it's just kind of, again, the hierarchy of the schedule, who gets it first, who gets it second. You know, some guys, if they're going back, you know, they're not from the United States or Canada and they're going back to Europe, the day they bring it back, they'll want to bring it there. So they kind of, you know, organize the day with the cup. But that's the beauty of the trophy, you know, and these hockey players, as you guys know, you know, they're, I mean, you got guys that bring it back to their youth rink, you know, back to their elementary school for, you know, a teacher that might have helped them in fourth grade or a coach or something. So it's really remarkable how many different people, you know, around the world get a chance to touch or see the Stanley Cup. Guys that are from the small towns bring them back there for a day, and it's pretty cool. And obviously this day and age in social media, as you said, Crowder, we wind up seeing all of it, either pictures or video, because everybody's got the camera out when the cup gets there.
Is there a lot of mono? Because every time I see people drinking out of it, I just assume a lot of people are getting mono.
You know, I got to think the next guy has the handy wipes ready, doesn't he? And just, like, wipes the thing down and sterilizes it?
Something.
It's a great question.
Run it through the car wash, something. Yeah. Steve Goldstein.
By the way, mono is such, like, an 80s thing, like, mono. People, like, old school.
Well, Crowder says that is mono. Crowder says that is solely for white people, that black people do not get mono.
We can get it, Goldie, but black, we don't make out a lot. Like, I've noticed white people just kiss and kiss and then just leave and never talk again. If I'm kissing, there's some action coming afterwards.
I heard about your ass in Gainesville, Crowder. You get right down to business. No kidding. I know about that. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, makes all the sense in the world. Yeah.
I do love how Crowder is a representation for every black person anywhere. Like, just because that's what he does.
Well, actually, do you know who our representation of every black person in America is? We had him on yesterday. He's a very proud son of the city you're in right now, Cornbread Maxwell. He comes on with us. Yeah, we do a feature called The Blacklist with him. And Crowder and I ask him things that Crowder, you know, like, I always have cottage cheese in the refrigerator. Crowder says that's solely for white people. Yep. And so we bring on Cornbread to be the arbiter.
He's got to agree that that's for white people, I would think.
He said if there's cottage cheese in a black person's refrigerator, it's because they mistakenly grabbed it when they were trying to get the sour cream.
Bingo.
Would agree 1,000%. I tell you what, he is one of the best personalities. He's a great dude.
So great. But he's very honest because, like, Crowder, I went to see Hootie and the Blowfish up in West Palm on Saturday night, and Crowder told me.
That's a thing to do.
Right. Yeah, well, Crowder told me that black people traded Darius Rucker.
We let him go years ago.
For Eminem. Yeah. And we brought Cornbread on yesterday, and he said, nope, he will not co-sign on that. He's a big Darius Rucker fan, right? Saw him at the airport, and he took issue with Crowder, and now Crowder, he doesn't know what to do.
Well, that's an intrigue. Now, Cornbread's a little older than Crowder, so that could be part of it.
Oh, yeah. He said, I'm a cranky old man.
And he said Cornbread said he only listens to music that gets him and his wife in the mood for action.
See, that's a smart, efficient man right there. Right there.
Couldn't argue with that, Goldie.
The MVP of the 1981 finals, which nobody realized. Everyone thinks Bird or one of those guys won. It was Cornbread Maxwell. But forget that. That is an efficient comment by him as far as listening to music. I got to try that.
He was telling us yesterday in Game 7 of the Celtics Finals that he was in, he put up 24-8-8. That's not a bad Game 7.
Off the bench, by the way, and there's some legendary stories in that 81 fight against the Rockets where he said, you know, he was running out on the court and, like, to Bird and all the, come on, guys, get on my back. I'm okay. I'm going to carry it. And he actually did.
Yeah, crazy. People don't realize what an unbelievable basketball player he was. NIT champion, right? Didn't he tell us that? Yeah. All right, there you go. Wow. Steve Goldstein, you listen to him tonight. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, Bruins and Blues. You will hear it on this very radio station. The broadcast is sponsored by Gunther Kia. You got to get to Gunther Kia for the summer sticker sales event, which is happening now through July 1st. You will hear hockey tonight. Right here on AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Enjoy the game tonight, Goldie.
Thank you. Last thing for you, make sure you tune in intermission. I am actually heading to the North End now. Ray Bork owns a restaurant. We asked him if he'd do an interview. He told me, come to the restaurant at 5 and tape it. So I'm heading to the North End now. I'm going to have a little chicken parm and interview Ray Bork. We're going to play it intermission tonight.
Wow, that'll be very cool. All right, enjoy. Have fun, man.
See ya.
Love that. If you're a broadcaster and you got a Game 7 and it's national broadcast and stuff, I mean, and now you're going to go have some lunch with Ray Bork.
Like, living the life.
Not too shabby. All right, let's take a quick break here. Is Eddie House going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour?
He is.
All right, we have received word that Eddie House and his friends, you know.
I think that's just a dance.
Eddie House will join us in the 4 o'clock hour.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Sports by Brooks. I don't know if you like. He was really relevant for a long time. Disappeared for a while. Now he's kind of back. Sports by Brooks is reporting that Michelle Beadle, Paul Pierce, and Chauncey Billups will not return to ESPN's NBA Countdown next season, and that Maria Taylor and Rachel Nichols are under consideration to take over as the host. Jalen Rose will remain in its current capacity. I have this thing. Is it because the NBA on TNT is so flipping good that whatever ESPN puts on is just always going to pale in comparison? Because there's no comparison between those two shows.
No.
When it's on TNT, it feels like a party, and it's great, and you're grinning from ear to ear. And when it's on ESPN, I'm cringing.
Ernie does a great job of letting the personalities come out,
yep,
and really maximizing all the guys around him. We've had this argument. We had this argument a number of times on and off the air. I can't stand Michelle Beadle.
Right. A lot of people can't.
She minimizes everything. She doesn't show excitement. Like, you're in the finals and she's kind of just shrugging her
shoulders. You just nailed it. Because she did get up. Now, I happen to like Michelle Beadle. I liked her for a long time, and I got turned off to her a little bit when she started with Get Up. And it was her and Mike Greenberg,
yep,
and then she made that, you know, declaration that she's no longer going to watch the NFL, which forced ESPN's hand to take her off that show because she said, I'm no longer watching games. I don't like what's going on in the league or whatever. She only wanted to be involved in basketball. They had just thrown so much money at her. She agreed to do Get Up. And then she forced their hand,
yeah,
by saying, and it made Mike Greenberg, it put him in an awkward situation. You just nailed it for me. I never really realized what about her was annoying me lately. It's that she minimizes everything.
Yep.
The NBA on TNT crew, they are enjoying basketball so much. They're racing Kenny to get to the screen to break down what happened in the first half. Like, there's enjoyment. She minimizes it.
Yeah, even with, I love Marcellus Wiley. And he would make these points. And, you know, Marcellus is up there. He's spitting his little gum in there. Like, he's all this animation. And she's, yeah, good point. So let's move on.
Right.
I couldn't stand Michelle. I still can't stand. She's good. I guarantee she's
you
a good person.
Just nailed it.
But I don't enjoy watching her.
Just nailed it. And Paul Pierce is garbage.
Oh yeah.
He's just talking. I don't think he believes what he's saying or knows what he's saying. Like, he's garbage.
He wanted to ride his name.
Well, it's the only reason he got that job. It certainly wasn't from his insight.
And that's one thing, too. I speak on it from my edge, where you get in the business with your name, but then you have to continue to mature in the business.
Correct. Then you have to actually become a broadcaster.
Yes.
Shaq, by the way, Shaq is the perfect example, because we've talked about it.
Yep.
He was bad when NBA on TNT, when he joined that cast.
He was a mumble rapper.
Yeah. He was bad. Didn't fit in with Kenny and Charles. It just didn't work. And he's become a broadcaster. He's a pleasure to watch now. Those four guys up there, like, it works perfectly, but it wasn't that way at the beginning.
And I think Ernie doesn't get enough credit for how he manages it. How
very difficult to do what he does.
How he lets them get into jokes that are rolling and have some backing, but then he'll cut them off when they need to cut it off and talk serious. I'm telling you, man, the person I love the most, I don't know if I can talk to her more or if she can get on pregame, postgame. I know she does the on-the-court stuff.
I know who you're going to say.
It's that damn Doris Burke.
She teaches you stuff that you didn't. It's like almost like Tony Romo watching football, and I listen to him, and I learn stuff. Doris Burke teaches you stuff in, like, a very easygoing manner, not like a know-it-all. She's really good.
Yeah, and they give her 20, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And she'll teach you so much in just the delivery and the cadence. I really do. I think Doris should have a bigger voice than she does on all networks.
I'm with you, but I don't think she'd do well in one of those, pregame, midgame shows or halftime shows.
Well, because she's very serious basketball
person.
She's
too serious. And
yeah.
I think to be like the point guard of one of those shows with athletes around you, you need to be able to loosen up and kind of like get them into the right spots.
But when your job description is to give us 20 seconds of basketball knowledge, then
she's
you have
great.
To deliver it.
Yeah.
What if they opened
oh,
it
I
up
see
for
what
you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where they're asking
but
her
even,
to just do
even,
that 20 seconds.
Even when she's doing play-by-play, she's really good at it. Like, she's very listenable. Paul Pierce, yeah, doesn't do anything for me. I'm trying to think. The ESPN broadcasts have been notoriously bad, right?
I'm looking up right now at the jump. It's T-Mac and Brian Windhorst.
Paul Pierce doesn't back any opinion. I've watched a lot. He just, they're going to win. Well, and he just keeps slapping the table and standing there.
And he's so quick to declare someone out of a series in game one, right? And it's like, and he's wrong. He's just flat out wrong.
Yeah, but then you can't back up. Because if you had a reason why they're down 1-0 and now it's over. It's over.
Like if you really had him on a debate show where you could debate for an hour, you could eviscerate him. Anyone with any kind of skills in that arena could eviscerate him because he can't back anything up.
When Jalen called him out on the Dwayne Wade thing, he wouldn't argue.
Yeah.
He just sat there.
He just caped up and, no, it's me.
It's me. No, it's Wade. And then Jalen, championships, this, that, you know, shooting title, whatever it was. No, I'm better than him. I'm better than him. No, Paul Pierce was bad. Was Chauncey bad?
He was just kind of there. I don't think he did. I don't think he moved the meter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jalen Rose is really good.
Yes.
Got a great personality. On Get Up, he could talk all sports. Chauncey Billups just didn't move the needle at all.
And putting Jalen in the middle of them,
it exploits their weaknesses.
I was just about to say, because Jalen's awesome.
Eddie House, he's still going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour?
4:20.
All right. What's he doing now?
He was on, he made the ESPN circle.
Eddie House?
He does NCAA, Big 12 stuff, basketball.
Yeah, he does, I'm sure he does basketball.
Is that based on anything? It sounds like you're making it up. And that's a weird, so you're telling me at 4:20, I'm going to introduce Eddie House as the voice of the Big 12 on the NCAA broadcast, and he's not going to giggle wherever he is?
Come on, Solana.
Can I get a little bit more background on what Eddie House is doing?
I'll work on it here.
All right. You got about 25 minutes to get that together. Come right back after this.